engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Here is a true child of Israel. There is no duplicity in him." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, brothers and sisters, today we have a feast day of three angels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. They are archangels. There are different levels of angels. And angels are purely spiritual beings. They have a mind, they have a will, but they don't have a body. These are angels, spirits that minister to God, praise Him around His throne day and night, as we see in various places of Scripture. And as Jesus says even here, they worship God, they praise Him, and they also serve us. The word angel, in fact, means a messenger, because that's one of the tasks, not the only task, that God gives to angels, giving messages to us on His behalf. Even though they don't have bodies, they have at various times in history, and we see it again throughout Scripture, appeared to people, spoken to them, special words of encouragement or of warning from the Lord. Spurred us on and urged us to serve the Lord, brought us the Lord's healing. And there are lessons to be learned from what we know about these three angels in particular, the special role that they played in salvation history. And let's reflect briefly on that. And I want to connect it also with our work as a church, as a people, as a movement, for pro-life, for defending the lives of the weakest human beings, the children yet in the womb. Let's start with Michael, because we read about him in this first reading. What is this war that broke out in heaven? Well, the very name Michael gives us a clue to what the war was about, because the word Michael means "who is like God?" As a question, who is like God? As a challenge, as a rallying cry against those who would deem themselves to be like God, or would say, "I am going through my own power, through my own assertion of my rights, I am going to be like God." The prophet Isaiah condemns that way of thinking when he speaks to the king of Babylon. You see this in the 14th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. He says, "How you have fallen from the heavens, O Lucifer." Now, he's talking to the king of Babylon, but you see how that reference pertains also to this passage we just heard. The devil falls from the heavens. Why? Well, Isaiah gives us the answer. He says, "Because you said in your heart, I will be like God. I will ascend to His throne." And so this war that broke out in heaven is between those who think that they can claim the throne of God by their own choice, versus those like Michael who say, "Who is like God? We're just creatures. We have to know our place. We have to be humble. We're not God. We have to obey God. God made us." So Michael and the angels faithful to the Lord win out in this war in heaven. But then the war gets sent down to earth. And that's where we go from the last book of the Bible to the first book of the Bible, where that same temptation, you will be like God, is given by that same ancient serpent, the devil and Satan, when he speaks to our first parents, Adam and Eve. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Isn't that great? You can write your own commandments. Everything will be up to your choice. But that's a temptation. That's a lie. That's a sin. It is God that writes the commandments, and our freedom is found by submitting to His choices. And we see this battle played out in the whole pro-life, pro-choice debate, don't we? It's not a matter of deciding for ourselves what is right and wrong. It's a matter of finding in the Lord the true freedom when we say yes to Him and to His plan, because His plan is to exalt us. We don't exalt us by ourselves by our own choice. Jesus said, "He who humbles himself will be exalted." So instead of thinking like Lucifer or thinking like the king of Babylon by saying, "I will ascend to the throne of God, I will be like God," it is the other way around. Thinking as Jesus did, though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men, obediently accepting even death, death on a cross. And so you and I, when we obey the Lord, when we take up our cross each day and follow him, there's freedom, there's life, there is like how we become like God. That's Michael. Continuing that same theme, accepting the plan of God, we see Gabriel, the archangel, the one that brought to the Virgin of Nazareth, Mary, the news that she was chosen to be the mother of God. Gabriel says to her, "You're going to bear a son." And she said, "This is astonishing. I don't have any plans to become pregnant." An unplanned pregnancy, if there ever was one. And yet Mary says, "Fiat." That little word in Latin that means, "Let it be done." "Let it be done to me," she says to the angel, "according to your word." Let it be done to me according to God's plan, God's choice, once again being primary to ours. And she expresses there in that one word, fiat, the essence of holiness. Union with God, submission to Him, and in that submission we find strength and freedom and life and fulfillment and happiness forever. Gabriel gives good news. "Do not be afraid, Mary. The plan of God in your life is for your good, for your exaltation. He has lifted up the lowly. He has raised the lowly to high places," Mary will say. This is what the Lord has in store for us all. And Gabriel therefore represents that good news message to which we are to say yes. And we think and we pray for all moms who are unexpectedly pregnant, that they'll take strength from Mary, that they'll take strength from the archangel Gabriel, say, "Do not be afraid. This might have been unplanned in your own mind, but God knew this from all eternity, and He's going to give you all the strength you need." And that's why we have within the pro-life movement and the church something called the Gabriel Project. This is a project whereby we, the disciples of Christ, the people of the pro-life movement, the ones who want to help mothers who are afraid to say yes to life, go to them and give them good news. Good news being that they are not alone. They might be scared about their pregnancy, unsure about how to take care of their child. But in the tradition of the Archangel Gabriel, we say, "Do not be afraid. We are with you. We'll help you." And there is, in fact, an army of helpers, people all across the country, all around the world, ready to help moms to say yes to that life that God has placed within them. Gabriel. And then Raphael, we read about in the Old Testament book of Tobit. Tobit's son Tobiah goes on a journey. Tobit is blind. Tobiah encounters this archangel Raphael, who gives him a healing remedy. God's remedy, God's healing, that's the name. Raphael gives him a healing remedy that he brings home to cure his father of his blindness. Raphael represents the healing of God, and of course the Savior himself in the Advent prophecies is referred to in that way. He brings healing in his wings. Isaiah says, by his wounds we are healed. We are healed of sin. He went around doing good, healing every sickness and disease. Why? Because sickness and disease ultimately come from sin. He didn't heal every single sick person there, not because he doesn't care about them, but because he was healing in an exemplary way. He was healing as a teaching action, as a way of pointing to faith in him as the road to the healing of everyone. Ultimately, we will all be set free from the limitations and diseases of this body and the power of death because of our faith in Christ and following him. Dying with him, we share his resurrection. The healing ministry of Christ points to faith in Christ that we must all embrace. And in the pro-life movement, this healing is such a key theme, such a key part of our work. It is such a key part of our work here at Priests for Life as we continue to offer healing to those who've been wounded by abortion. And it is a terrible wound. Those who undergo it know that. You destroy that child, you destroy part of yourself. And yet the Lord doesn't leave us subject to that destruction. He brings salvation. He brings healing. That's why we have Rachel's Vineyard, the largest healing ministry in the world for those that have been wounded by abortion. We're privileged to have that as part of our Priests for Life family of ministries. I'm privileged to serve as the pastoral director for that ministry worldwide, and every day we are bringing countless people through the power of the Word of God and the sacraments and good, solid psychological research. And applying that research, we accompany people like the Archangel Raphael did on the journey of healing. It's a journey, a lifelong journey, but we have the absolute assurance of victory in Christ, healing over every wound. So let's celebrate these angels today. Let's celebrate the role of angels in our lives. Let's pray to them. Let's know that they pray to us, and at every Mass, we repeat words of angels when we say that holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, that prayer, the angels constantly singing it around the throne. And we join them here on earth in singing praise to the Creator, and we will join them forever when we see the Lord face to face. Holy angels of God, pray for us. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net. This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.